watched that today and thought about what would be taking place. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, and I'm grieved about what is not being done. When you see all the accomplishments that Christ has made for us, and then you see how that man has rejected, has turned his back on, has walked away from all the opportunities, all the things that Christ has done for him, it causes you to be grieved. And tonight, opportunity is ours to take advantage of what the Lord has made available. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 35 will be my text this evening. John chapter 11, verse 35. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, let's do so. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. I'm going to repeat that. Jesus wept. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, for all that you've done and all that you are doing. I pray right now you have your way. We feel your spirit here this evening. We thank you for everything that was accomplished last night. We thank you for the lives and the souls that were touched, healed, delivered last night and tonight, Lord. We are thrilled that you are here to touch, to help, and to deliver those that are here. Lord, there are situations in this house. There are people here with circumstances that only you know about. Nobody else knows. Nobody else understands. Nobody else knows how serious that it is. But you do. You know how that the devil is lying to each and every one. Tonight, I pray that you break the chains, that you destroy the cage, that you set every heart, every soul, every person free. Tonight, Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to so touch the hearts of each person that they realize how much the Lord loves them and cares for them and what all has been done for the release of their souls tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of God. My question tonight is a simple one. Why did Jesus weep? What made him weep? We know this is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But it's more than just the shortest verse in the Bible. Something caused Christ to weep. Something caused the Creator of all the universe, of everything that we know about, something caused him to weep. This crusade that we're having is, it's a crusade all about deliverance. Set me free, deliverance crusade. That's what we call that. It's all about deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from who? Deliverance from sin. And everything that is associated with that sin is what this thing is all about, being delivered from. Misery, despair, hopelessness, addictions. On and on the list could go. The things that people find themselves involved in that they then can't get loose from. Just like earlier tonight as we've seen the Set Me Free drama. You know, we've seen the young man as he came in and he began to curiously look at and touch each of those items. There was the anger that all of us struggle with. He was struggling with anger and lust and malice, envy, rejection. On and on the list goes. Some things seemed so enticing that he began to get involved. And the next thing you know, he had chains wrapped around him that he could not get himself freed from. I watched tonight as I've seen that skit over and over. And every time it disturbs me. Not only do I see where I have been, but I see where many are. And I watch as that young man is thrown to the ground. And then all of those things that he bought into, that he embraced thinking was so wonderful at the time, begin to haunt him, keep him pushed down. He couldn't get up. He couldn't get free. He couldn't move. And then there was that evil devil in the background behind it all, lurking, laughing, mocking. And and urging on those demons of lust and perversion to keep him down. Isn't that where mankind is today? Isn't that where so many are even in this very hour? And all the things that we have in America, all the technology, all of the pleasures, all of the wonderful good things that we have that we could do that's not sinful. And yet, there are so many things that men find themselves involved in other than Christ. And it doesn't have to be adultery to keep you out of heaven. It doesn't have to be fornication or murder or envy or strife. It can simply be putting other things ahead of the Lord. Many are not here tonight because they thought something else would be better. Going to over to their friend's house, watching a movie, hanging out, doing something else, while the hand on that hour, on that clock, continues to tick. Time is swiftly slipping away, and men are not ready to meet God. Are you ready tonight? Do you need deliverance? You know, it's not only the sinner that needs freed from sin, his deliverance. But there's a lot of people, even in the church, even Christians, that have allowed things into their life, allowed things to get a hold of them. That anger last night, the skit about the luggage, part of that was all the things that you pick up. Somebody's hurt you and you hang on to that. It's hard to let go of hurts. It's hard to let go when somebody cuts your throat or cuts you, you know, stabs you in the back, we call it, figuratively, hopefully. It's hard to let go. When you know you've trusted somebody and then they have went after you and took advantage of you and your trust. Oh, we'll say, I can forgive, but I won't forget. Uh-oh, then you've not truly forgiven. I know we'll remember things, but we also can hang on to things. We use that terminology, I'll forgive but not forget. Most of the time when that's quoted, when that's said, there's anger involved in that. There's bitterness in that statement. I've seen it too many times. I felt it myself and had to go to the Lord to get help with stuff I could not get freed from myself. Tonight, many of you, although you walked in the house, you looked wonderful, you looked pleasant, you seemed happy. Many of you came through that door dragging chains of some sort of bondage, addiction, or trouble or struggle that you're needing freed from tonight. And you might not admit it to your closest friend. You might not admit it to anybody else in here. But God knows, you know, and the devil knows. The fact is, Jesus can do something about that. If you're willing. Brother Dan already sung. If you're willing to make that step, Jesus will go out of his way to make 999. He'll come, oh, he'll go the extra mile to get to you. If you truly want to be delivered. There's all kind of problems that we face. But I can assure you, Jesus is able to free us from every one of them. In our skit tonight about the birdcage here, I thought it was very interesting. There was three characters represented in each part of that. In the first part, you've seen the mean boy, the innocent birds, and the kind stranger. It's a beautiful story. I like that. But the second part of that, then, we see the mean devil, and then we see mankind, and of course, the loving Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that cares. Man had obviously, through his selfishness in the garden, as the devil in the skit said, didn't even have to put him in there, they put themselves in there. Through their selfish sins, through their greed, through their desire to do what they wanted to do instead of what the Lord commanded them to do. They found themselves in a cage that they could not get out of. You ever been there? Amen. I can assure you, before you met Christ, you were there. And those of you tonight that are here that have never truly given your heart to the Lord, you're there. You're in that cage. Sometimes it takes us a while to admit it. When you're younger, you feel invincible. You feel like, man, I'm not going to die. You know, death is the last thing on your mind. So going fast, doing stupid stuff, running around, doing, you know, things that jeopardize your life. You're not thinking about dying. You're thinking about what you call living. And so maybe you're not ready. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we have to get to the bottom of the barrel. Sometimes we have to get our back against the wall or ourselves cornered in a situation that we cannot get out of. And then in our moment or our time of fear and worry and stress, we begin to realize, man, I got to have help and money's not going to fix this. Dad and mom can't fix this. Whatever. Our connections can, and we begin to call on the Lord. Sometimes they call that scared religion. Call it what you want. I've been there. And I was glad the Lord was willing to listen to me in my time of fear. Amen. I was glad of it. Sometimes we have to get down in those situations to where we're finally willing to realize how much we need the Lord. The fact is, no matter how much we tell you that Jesus loves you, no matter how much we tell you that hell is hot and heaven is beautiful and you got to get right with Jesus to go to heaven and you got to, and also you got to get right with Him to stay out of hell, it's not going to amount to anything to you until you realize I'm lost, I'm miserable, and I cannot help myself. Until you get to that point, we're probably not going to be able to help you. And though Christ may knock on your heart's door and deal with you, you're probably not going to be willing to pray because you don't think you need Him right now. But some of you are here tonight because you're desperate. Some of you are here tonight because you've dealt with suicide. You've wrestled with that demon. You've wrestled with some sort of an addiction you cannot get freed from. You didn't mean to get involved. You didn't mean to get in over your head. But the fact is, you are. And now, you got to have help. Amen. As we see this story that I read from where Jesus wept, that took place in a part of Jesus' life when Lazarus, a person that he cared very much for, had passed away. Jesus was in another town. Lazarus' sisters, also Jesus' friends, they sent for Jesus to come quickly, that Lazarus, their brother, was sick. Jesus did not come as quick as they thought. It took Him 4 days to get there, something like that. And when He got there, Lazarus had already passed away. Lazarus' sisters were upset with Jesus. They couldn't understand why He didn't rush to get there. As they began to talk, Jesus said, "Don't you understand? I'm the resurrection. He can live again." And oh yeah, they thought way down the road, yeah, we know that you're the resurrection and all, but Jesus said, oh, but, you know, I can do this now, basically. And they didn't believe. They didn't really understand. They didn't get a hold of what He was talking about. And even the sister of Jesus, or the sister of Lazarus, said, "Lord, by now he stinketh. He's so dead, he stinks. I mean, this is beyond you at this point. This is beyond you. There's too many times in our own lives we think things that have happened in our life is beyond Christ fixing, healing, or delivering us from. One of the worst things you can do is feel like your problem is so extraordinary, so bad, that there's no hope or no deliverance from you. You do not understand. If that's the case, if that's the way you feel about your situation, then you have no clue at all what Christ is capable of. You have no understanding of what He is capable of. I can assure you, there is no problem, no circumstance, no sin, no chain, no trouble too bad that Jesus Christ cannot only save you, but set you free from that situation. Amen. He is able and He is willing. He made it clear to His disciples and to everyone. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come. If you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me." I can do that. Christ is able. That's what He's saying. I'm able to save. I'm able to set free. Jesus wept. These words mean more than just He shed a few tears. He wept. Certainly because of what they said that, you know, He stinks and you can't get it. You know, this is a waste of time. And Jesus wept because of those things. But He didn't just weep a few little tears and, you know, these words, this word wept simply means this: to sob, to wail, or to wail out loud, be well, or to weep sore. In other words, Jesus was grieved deep inside of Him because of the unbelief and because of the circumstance of the people. Jesus wept because of what He had seen sin do to His creation. I believe that. I believe there was more to this than just simply Lazarus was dead in the tomb. There was weeping from Christ because He is seeing the big picture. He is seeing the hurt and the destruction that sin has caused so many. He wept because of man's pain and suffering. He never takes pleasure in anybody's suffering. He never takes any pleasure. He never turns His head and looks away from people that are hurting. He's always willing and able and desires to help anyone in every situation, excluding no one. He wept because of their unbelief, certainly. He also wept because of his own people and what they had done to him. They had rejected him. There was a lot of hurt in Christ. Have you ever felt hurt? Have you ever felt rejection? Have you ever felt like people just didn't understand you? They just couldn't identify with what you were going through, or maybe they just didn't care about you. The Bible said that in Luke 19, verse 41, and when he, talking of Christ, had come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Why? Why would he weep over Jerusalem? Another place it said that Christ made this statement, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stones and stoned and stonest them that are sent unto it. How oft I would have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wing, but ye would not." He wept because his own people rejected him. You ever feel rejection? It's important to know tonight that Christ identifies with us in every situation that we face. And everything that we feel and what we go through, when you're confident, nobody else understands you. When you're confident, nobody else cares. When you're confident that nobody knows what you're dealing with, remember that the Bible said that this concerning Christ. "For we have not an high priest," talking of Jesus, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Jesus has felt what you feel. Absolutely. He has felt what you feel, and more so. How can I imagine what Christ must have been feeling when he comes and he looks and he knows his time is near. He's headed toward Calvary. The cross is only a matter of days away. And he looks over Jerusalem from a vantage point and he sees that whole city. A city that he has seen over the years, and he has blessed them and he's helped them and he's delivered them time and time again. A city called the City of Peace. That's what Jerusalem means. He looks at them. These are his people. These are the ones that he had desired to draw close to him and to use them to reach the whole world. And yet now they had rejected him. He had been in their cities. He had healed their sick, raised their dead, loved their people, fed the hungry, and they wanted to kill him for it. You ever felt rejection? That's the kind he was feeling. He can identify with you and your rejection. That's not the only place, and that's not the only way that he can identify with you. Tonight in this skit, the birdcage, another thing was mentioned. The devil, when he was talking to Christ, he made it clear to him, it's going to cost you your tears. It's going to cost you your blood to set them free. It's going to cost you your life. Well, we've already talked about the tears that Christ shed then. And I guess in some ways, figuratively speaking, he does now. He looks at us and he is so ready to help us. And yet too many times we look in other areas for the help we need. In areas where help will not be available. No wonder men and women and young people search and search to feel the longing in their heart and feel that emptiness, and they keep coming up short time and time again, and yet they keep going back because the devil keeps selling another lie and another drug and another drink and another relationship and another party and another place and another opportunity, thinking it'll be better the next time. It'll never be better. Only Christ can satisfy your soul. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can fill the void. He's the only one that can heal the hurting that you feel. Nobody else can but Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he shed tears. He wept bitterly, absolutely. But more than that, have you ever felt pressure? Have you ever felt so much pressure of life that you didn't think you could bear it? A lot of times this is one of the very things that brings about the thoughts of suicide and the reason that some people do kill themselves. Pressure. We call it a lot of different things. Anxiety. Stress. We've got drugs for it. constantly on the TV. They'll tell you about some new drug that'll help you with your stress, that'll make you feel better about things. Yeah. Constantly there's places you can go, people you can talk to, professionals that'll help you cope. There's been a few times I'd like to talk to somebody like that. Been a few times I'd like to have me one of those pills. Because we try to handle things on our own. Because we try to look in our own ways of handling situations. Again, we just think the Lord doesn't understand the pressure I'm under. A lot of times we allow guilt to put us under that pressure. As fathers, as men, as husbands, we'll think, man, I've made a bad decision here financially. I've got to sell. I've got my family to bind. I made a bad decision here. I've got us maxed out. And so we find ourselves pressured. We feel like failures. That's pressure. That's pressure. That's stress. But how in the world could Jesus identify with us in the things that we go through? Do you remember what happened? Luke chapter 22, verse 44 makes it clear. This is when Jesus was in the garden. And being in an agony. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Have you ever been under such pressure that you sweated? I have. Have you ever been so nervous you broke out in a sweat? Oh yeah. Most of us have. Some of you have. If you've been under real pressure. Several years ago there was a commercial about some kind of deodorant. And if you use that, don't never let them see you sweat or something like that was their slogan. Never let them see you sweat. You're supposed to use that, you know. So they can't see you sweat. So they can't see you under pressure, in other words. I want to tell you, there's some things that the deodorant just ain't going to cover up. There's pressure and sweating and stress that comes under certain situations. And here we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in a circumstance where he was under such pressure that he sweated until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Do you know that science says that this is possible? They say that if a man is in certain agony situations and stressful circumstances, that it is possible for his sweat pores to actually begin to turn loose blood out of his body. What would cause Christ to sweat like that? The pressure. What pressures, man? He's the Son of God. He's got it going on. All of the sins of the world of mankind were being laid on Jesus Christ in that garden. As he prayed, he woke, he come back out. He said, boys, wake up, come pray with you. Don't you understand what kind of hour we're in? Don't you understand what I'm going through? Pray with me. Cannot you pray with me 1 hour? They only went back to sleep. He dealt with this alone, without any friends, without any help, without any family. His own brothers and sisters had rejected him at this point. Jesus Christ dealt with the pressure of every molester that ever had been. Every molester and rapist that ever would be. The sins of every man. The worst sins. The grossest sins. Every lie. Everything that was ever done. Every cheater. Every kind of lie and pressure of sin was laid on one man. One man. Jesus. In that garden. No wonder he prayed. And said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He asked. Why would he ask? Because he was under pressure. He was under pressure. While he was going through this, while he was feeling this, other men were caving into pressure. Many cave into pressure. Every day, tonight, while we're here, hundreds will die and go into eternity lost because they gave into pressure. Through a gun, drug, some sort of act of violence against themselves, they'll take their own life trying to relieve the pressure. I want to tell you tonight, a quick death will not relieve you of pressure. No, no. No, not when you take your own life. All the devil will tell you, you'll feel better. Eternity can't be as bad as this. See, the devil lies to us in such a way and gets us in such a situation in that cage as he's poking us, as he's treating us so bad and we're feeling so pressured and beat up and worried and stressed out. We come to that point, we buy into that lie that surely hell's no worse than what I'm dealing with right now. And men and women will take their life. We learned last night, nearly two every second are going into eternity lost, undone without God. To hell forever. Oh, I want to tell you, nothing you're facing today is worth leaving this life unprepared to go into eternity lost. Nothing. Jesus can identify with you in the pressure that you feel. Not only did he shed his blood for our salvation, but he shed his blood for our healing. See, there's a lot of things that we face that Jesus can identify with. The beating that he took, was it not Isaiah that said that his stripes were for our healing? He bore all those stripes for me. That was my transgression that drove him to the cross. And it was the beating that should have been for me that he took. And the Bible said, by his stripes, we are healed. Not going to be maybe. We are healed. The beating that Jesus took at the whipping post was for you. It was for me. They tied Jesus there and they began to beat him unmercifully. They beat him in such a way with a whip with chunks of metal and bone in it that every time, and they had taken his garment from him, and every time they would hit his body and pull, those claws and chunks of metal would wrap around, and as they would yank, it would rip his body and strike after strike. After strike, many believe that they used the whip called the cat of nine tails. That whip had nine lashes on it. Every time they struck him once, nine lashes would wrap around him and rip away. The Bible said that his vision, that his countenance was so marred, his body was so mired that you couldn't even recognize him. He was ripped to shreds. Why? For you. For you. For me. For our sins and for our healings. Jesus was beaten. See, he can identify with you in your weeping. He can identify with you in your feeling of rejection. He can identify with you in your feeling of pressure and stress and sorrow and misery. He can identify with you in your physical hurting. There's a lot of people that hurts so bad in their body, they just can't hardly think straight. Back pain, knees gone out, joints wore out. It's hard to focus when you're in pain all the time. I've never really had excruciating pain like that constantly until just here, maybe, I don't know, a couple years ago when my gallbladder just had totally wiped out on me. And I didn't really realize it. I was trying to hang in there and, you know, I just didn't want to go to the doctor. You know how you do sometimes. And however long it was, it was too long. Non-stop, constant, agonizing pain that just was just about unbearable. And that yet, I realized while that was going on, and especially after I'd gotten it all fixed, and I thought back on it. I thought, you know, as much pain as I was in, and I couldn't hardly take it. I knew that I was not in the pain that some people experience. I knew that I had not suffered with pain like some people dealt with for weeks and years in their body. It made me weep. It made me concerned. It made me compassionate. Christ is compassionate with the pain that you feel, whether it's spiritual, mental, or physical. He is compassionate toward what you're going through. He can identify with you tonight because he has already went through it. And he did it all for you. He did not need to come here. Jesus did not need to come here as a babe in a manger. He had no need for that for himself. Everything he did here was for you, for me, for mankind, to get all of them released from that bird cage. Amen, so to speak. Amen. The beatings, the thorns, the mockery, the spitting, the nailing was all for you. Our sin brings pain, suffering, sorrow, death. And with Lazarus, it brought a stench. Have you ever been involved in something to the point that you felt like your life stunk? Man, this stinks. My life stinks. This situation stinks. Sin will do that to you. And finally, you come to that horrible, horrible cage. Pilgrim's Progress, in that story, John Bunyan tells of a man in an iron cage. And as I can in my mind see, as Christian walks down and he is taken here to be shown this man, because Evangelist was trying to help Christian avoid some things. He was going to show him what the consequences of sin are if you go back to it, or you linger with it, or you play with it. And here, Christian comes down into this basement. As he comes down, there is this cage in this dark, clammy, cold dungeon. A cage, an iron cage, with doors that are shut and locked. And in that cage sat a man. Christian described him as a man that groaned as with every groan his life was about to leave him of misery. Oh, the man would groan. Oh. Christian began to inquire, why? Why is the man here? Why the groaning? And the man began to speak up, I'm here because I once was free. I once had what you have, but I allowed the allurements of the world to draw me back. I began to get involved in things that I had gotten away from. And after beginning to get involved, I became so bound that I eventually got locked in this cage. And now I'm here for all of eternity, never to be released, only to think of the freedom I once had, but no longer can have. And he began to groan and groan. Christian left that basement horrified. Horrified that a man could get in such a condition. Tonight, some of you may feel like you're that man in that iron cage, that you're beyond help. But I want to tell you what, you are not beyond help. Regardless of your situation or circumstance, you are not beyond reach. Jesus Christ died on Calvary, buried in a tomb, and on the third day, by the power of God Almighty, came out of that grave with the keys to the iron cage. With the keys to the bird cage. With the keys to your cage. And Jesus Christ can set you free tonight. Amen. Let's stand. Oh, I want to tell you, we're here to pray with you tonight. This is not some kind of big show, some big elaborate deal. We're here for one reason, to represent Jesus Christ and to try to help you get the freedom you're needing. Brother Mick is here this evening. Other men of God are here. We're here to pray with you. We'll help you. If you don't know how to pray, if you don't understand what you need to do to get saved, we'll talk to you. We'll help you. We'll lead you in prayer. We cannot save you, but Jesus Christ can. But we can surely point you in His direction and help you understand that. If you're here and you need healing in your body, we can pray for you tonight. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that you can ask the saints to pray and we'll gather around. And as we pray and lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, the Bible said the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen. The Lord is able tonight to touch you. Amen. And this is all about you getting what you need from Christ tonight. He's here. I have felt His presence. I know He's here to touch, to heal, to deliver. As I close, we go from the man in an iron cage to a man on a hillside. Buried himself deep in a tomb. Night and day, the Bible said that he would groan. The Bible said that he was in such pain and agony that he would rake his body against the rocks until he would cut himself. And he would groan out night and day in pain and suffering. Oh, somewhere across that Galilean sea, on the other side, there was a man named Jesus. He heard that man 4 or 5 miles away. He heard him groaning night after night after night. There come a day, Jesus said, today, we're going to sail across that. We're going over there, boys. Get in that boat and go to the other side. All of hell came against him. Storm began to rock that boat. Tried to capsize it. Water coming in. Men was working hard to keep it afloat. And they looked around and Jesus was asleep in the back. Master, don't you care that we perish? Oh, he cares. He cares whether you perish or not. He didn't go through all that he went through because he didn't care. For he went through it because he cares. He cares. No matter how small the problem or how big it is, he cares. They woke him and said, don't you care? And he got up and he rebuked the wind. That's that demons of trouble. He rebuked it. And then he spoke to that creation, that sea, and he said, peace be still. And that water fell down and laid flat like glass. The Bible said immediately it is at the other side. And they got out of that boat on the other side. That man that had been groaning. A man that men had not been able to help. They tried everything, no doubt their drugs, their voodoo, their witchcraft. They tried chains, nothing could help him. He was loaded and filled with demons of hell that no one could help him with. And in one moment of desperation, in one little instant of sanity, he got just enough to see Jesus and he ran to him with all of his might. Demons couldn't stop that man. It doesn't matter how far down a man has gotten, how many demons is holding that person. If they can just get a glimpse of Jesus and if they just have a little bit of a will to get to him, oh, he'll go 999 right through the pits of hell to get to where you're at tonight. He knows where you're at. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows what you're going through. And man ran and fell down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus didn't mock him. Jesus didn't rebuke him and say, you filthy man, you ain't got no clothes on, you're nasty. You go clean yourself up. You go get you some clothes on. You go act right before I do anything for you. No, Jesus, he never said none of that. As that man fell, Jesus immediately got to the root of the matter. As from that man, those demons began to speak. Jesus told them to hold their peace. And with one dominating word, oh, I want to tell you, the Bible said there was over 2,000. It was a legion of demons in that man. It's better than 2,000, folks. 2,000 demons or more was in that man. I want to tell you what a horrible man, what a horrible case this man was. The worst of the worst in the Bible is recorded with this one man. And Jesus, with one word of authority, said, go! And immediately every demon left that man's body and he was completely made whole and set free. And that man, the next thing you see, they've got him some clothes on him. They've washed him. He's sitting there. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. What happened? He got to Jesus. He got to Jesus. Oh, if you could just get to Jesus tonight, he can set you free. And he's here. He's here. He's here. And he's saying to you, come, come to me. These altars are open. Come and talk to Jesus. Come and talk to him. If you need help, Brother Mick, myself, we'll pray with you. But come. Come on, saints, lead the way. Sinner friend, come on, backslider. There's no reason to set back. We have altar space for everybody. Come. Seek the face of the Lord. If you're more comfortable praying at your seat, do so. But let's seek the face of God tonight. He's in the house. He's here to touch. He's here to heal. He's here to set you free.